truths, important truths of the Christian faith. And I invite you to look at her reading on your handout. And she starts with this, you know, she asks to be utterly forgetful of myself so that I may establish myself in you as changed and calm as though my soul were already in eternity. Let nothing disturb my peace nor draw me forth from you, O my unchanging God. We hear that, and the first thing that you think about is being utterly forgetful of myself. And there is a temptation there, or a fear there, sometimes when we hear words like that, that we're talking about losing our own identity. But that's not at all what she's talking about. She's talking about losing the need that we humans have to identify ourselves as opposed to another. We do identity in opposition. Trinity does not do identity in opposition. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit are perfectly one, even as they are three. So she wants to live into that. That's why it starts, "Oh my God, Trinity, whom I adore," because she wants to live into that union that provides perfect and true identity. And she says, she talks about it as calm and changeless, which are traditional qualities of God, but she's not talking about being still as in nothing happening. Because she says, "Oh my unchanging God, but at every moment may I penetrate more deeply into the depths of your mystery." So this isn't the kind of stillness that isn't going anywhere. Just like it isn't the kind of forgetting myself that obliterates identity. There's paradox all the way through the things she's saying, and it's easy to miss. So she's saying that entering into the stillness of her prayer life where she draws closer to God actually becomes the most important activity of all, because it allows her to penetrate more deeply to the mystery of God. Right? And then what she discovers is this fascinating truth that it's not always her going towards God, but it's also God coming to her. Right? So she says, "Give peace to my soul, make it your heaven, your cherished dwelling place, and the place of your repose." That's God coming to her. That's very scriptural, right? While we were yet sinners, at the right time, Christ died for us. He was sent in the fullness of time. He came to us. It's why on the Sunday liturgy, the deacon goes out into the midst of the congregation to read the gospel, to remind us that Christ came to us first. Right? And so Elizabeth of the Trinity comes to understand this, and she desires it even more. And then even though God is coming to her, again, it's a paradox, right? Because she says, "Let me never leave you there alone," which is, you know, keep me from going away from you who comes to me. Let me never leave you there alone, but keep me there. Which has that sense of God embracing her, even as she's been talking about God entering and residing there. Again, paradox. Keep me there, wholly attentive, wholly alert in my faith, wholly adoring, and fully given up to your creative action. That's a key definition of God, right? Well, part of our theology is God creator, right? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, we say at the beginning of the creed. Creator is one of those key attributes, right? So even though there is a quality of sereneness and the stillness of one's prayer life in this, there's also all the dynamism of God's active love that's creative and gathering and comes to us. All of that is there too. There's this powerful sense in Elizabeth of the Trinity's writing of closeness to God, of an inner penetration of her and God, almost like what she's yearning for and praying about and beginning to experience in her life. And the truth of the faith is that what happens is that we get woven together into the love of God, the Trinity. And in that bringing together, that weaving together, we find our truest identity. We find our truest self. And we become who we were really meant to be. So it's a beautiful, in all of her writing, there's a real beauty in her expression of this most profound truth. And it's this profound truth that we hear in the gospel that we heard today. Because Jesus says, those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. It's the very same thing that Elizabeth of the Trinity is talking about. Whoever does not love me does not keep my word, and the word that you hear is not mine, but it is from the Father who sent me. There's that sense of not identity, but not by opposition. Jesus is known as the Word of God. He brings the Word of God, and the Word that he brings is actually the words of God. It's all one. And in order for his disciples to grapple what they're wrestling with is here in this part of John, is telling them he's gay, and they're afraid. Right? You don't, what? You're going away? No, don't go away. What are we going to do if you go away? And he tells them, I'm going away, but I'm with you. I'm going away, but you're in me. I'm going away, but the Father and I come in. And so one of the clearest messages of the faith, be it in the Gospel of John or in Elizabeth of the Trinity's mystical reflections, is that at one level of reality, everything seems separate and distinct. We know ourselves in opposition to others. We even have cells in our eyes that sharpen the edges of things when we look. Isn't that fascinating? Isn't that fascinating, right? It's really interesting. So we like that sharpness, that edge, that distinction, right? And that's at one level of reality. But at a deeper level of reality, what some have called the mystical, at a deeper level of reality, things are more connected than we realize. They are more connected than they seem. And that the redeeming work of God is about gathering into unity. And not into the kind of unity that mixes everything together and makes a big mush. But the gathering into unity that is so permeated by perfect love that everything and everyone gets to be perfectly who and what they are, existing forever in the love of God. That's the faith. That's why the prayer book says the mission of the church is to restore all people to unity with God and each other in Christ. Because there's a deeper level of reality where we are perfectly one in the love of God.